up to everyone? Welcome back. I want you to imagine the scene. Bnei Yisrael have just walked across the Yam Suf, to their amazement, through walls of water. Egyptians still chasing them, running through the Yam Suf. And then, a fateful moment where Moshe gets up, takes his mateh, his staff, and all of a sudden, the walls of water come crashing down. Now when the Torah records the story, the Torah tells us the perspective of the onlooker, of Bnei Yisrael. That Bnei Yisrael look and watch in awe, in amazement, in fear, as the army that was chasing them to kill them is literally washed away. The end being, Vayaminu b'Hashem u'Moshe avdo. They come out inspired, filled with belief, etc. But I always wondered, what was it like from the other side? What was it like for the Egyptians who were very nervously crossing through a dry Yam Suf, amazed, perplexed, surprised, and then all of a sudden looking and seeing the walls stopping to become solids, turning to water, and again, depending on, guess what movie we watch of Kriyat Yam Suf will depend on how that image will look. But I just want you to think of for a second, what is going through the mind, what's racing through the mind of the Egyptian as it dawns on him that the water is about to literally wash him away and he's not going home for dinner that night. What thoughts go through his mind? The Medrash quotes Rav Pappas, who says that, as we perhaps know, according to the Midrash, Kriyat Yam Suf was a form of Gilui Shechina. It was a form of revelation to the Jewish people. They saw God's hand out there right in front of them. But Rav Pappas extends this also to the Egyptians, that the Egyptians saw or could have seen a flash of God at that moment, could have seen the culmination of everything that had happened and God had tried to show. Except the Medrash says the only person who appreciated it was Pharaoh. The rest of the Egyptians, you tell me. Their dawning reaction, something tells me, included a four-letter word. It's funny, I have this strong memory of my driving instructor. TABC hired a driving teacher that was a required club at the time for everyone. And he was a really sweet guy. And he was telling us why he became a driving instructor. And he said that years back, his son had a motorcycle. And every day to get home, they lived on a really long and curvy road. And every day, his son would drive home on his motorcycle, and he knew to be very careful because it was a very windy, curvy road, and one false move would not end well. And one night, this was a Thursday night, perhaps let's assume it was after a beer or two, and son is driving home as fast as he can, make curfew, and he seems not to have remembered to turn, to brake. And his father is sitting there describing for us that his son, and he said he saw the sight, he saw the skid marks, he saw exactly the part he went over the railing and then crashed down a cliff, never to see his son again. And as we're all sitting there listening to his story with a knot in our stomach, he says, and you know what the worst part was? At that moment of dawning, where it dawned on him, and he didn't turn, and he didn't break, and that this was literally the end, I know that my son didn't think about us as parents. I know that he didn't think about God. I know he didn't think about the life that could have been. But literally, the only word on his mind was, oh, followed by, fill in the rest. The reason I bring this up is, we've just come back from a tiyul. And I don't know why, I seem to have found myself multiple times standing next to a four-letter word, standing next to a language that I didn't appreciate. I'm not saying this was a rampant event, but it came up enough times on the bus, on the tiyul, at various places, and it kind of struck a chord. It's funny that the reaction very often when someone realized that I was standing next to them, or when I said, and I cleared my voice very loudly, was always, oh, I'm sorry, Rabbi. I'm sorry you had to hear that. Which always made me wonder. And I don't even know what that means. Like,
The word doesn't hurt me, but the truth is, I always wanted to respond back, no, I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry that the last thought for the Egyptian, but I'm sorry that your reaction to an event was to take a one-syllable base word and use it. I'm sorry your level of emotional intelligence, social intelligence doesn't get us past a four-letter word. I'm sorry that in the world that we live in, so we know that, my grandmother entered a nursing home a few months ago. She called me up after the first week and she whispered, you're not going to believe it. They showed a dirty movie at the old age home. A little surprised by that. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, there was so much cursing in the movie. I've never seen a movie like that. So I'm not as naive as to only watch soap operas and never watch a movie. But I'm aware of how filled our world is with cursing, with language, with vulgar language. But at this point, it's something to think about. Rav Tzadok HaKohen always talks about the true measure of a person isn't the way they present themselves in their best form. When you go on that first date, that's not the measure of who the person is. The person's putting on a show. You go on an interview. Interviewing skills is to figure out who you are as opposed to who you're presenting yourself to be. We all know how to put on a show. Says Rav Tzadok, the only true test of character is that when they're subconscious, it's to be able to test the subconscious. It's about to see what do they dream about? What are they thinking about? Or how do they react in instinct? What's their knee-jerk reaction, verbal or physical, to an event? My hope is that as the year has passed its halfway point and we've all taken upon a different part of ourselves and asked ourselves, how much has the yeshiva come into ourselves? How have we become B'nai Torah? How have we changed? God forbid not flip out. But how have we changed, and use other words, that the hope is that one of the things we'll take to heart is the way we express ourselves in private, in public, the language that we use. I put on the Bima two classic works of the Chafetz Chaim, all having to do with Chafetz Chaim, who is someone who wants life, someone who is, does Shmirat Lashon, who watches their language, watches their tongue. And we often think it means Lashon Hara, but the truth is it means any way that we talk, any way that we reflect on ourselves. And my hope is that the more we become serious about Torah, about God, about living a religious life, that our language will follow suit accordingly and will reflect us in a proper way as opposed to an improper way. A wonderful day.